the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed in Gennesaret. And when the men at that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Rosemary. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you at church this morning. This is our last day of the series in After the Storm, Deeper Roots, New Growth. Just to remind you of the journey that we're actually been on, remember we actually started off with how to develop a faith that could actually handle the storms of life. We've looked at experiencing the love of Christ in our innermost being. We've looked at dependency upon God, you know, when Moses says, "I don't want to go unless you go with me, God." And we looked at the idea that love is the central quality of a follower of Jesus and of the Christian church. And last week, Todd reminded us of what kind of community God wants us to be, a community of priests, a community that actually genuinely serves and loves one another, that intercedes for one another. And today, in a sense, we finish where we started. We find ourselves in another storm. But it's a little bit different. In this storm, you would notice that Jesus is no longer in the boat with the disciples. Rather, he is out upon the water. And the challenge of this message is, will you and I actually have that type of faith that will actually step out of the boat, leave a place of security and comfort, and actually have that spirit-led, Jesus-focused kind of faith that allows us to be people who walk on water? I don't know about you, I don't know what place you actually find yourselves in, but there's a large part of me that actually desires comfort and ease. But I believe actually the Spirit of God is actually going to be speaking to you, and he's going to be speaking to me. In a sense, this year, the first term, the pastoral staff has been focusing on regathering us as a community of faith. This series has actually just been trying to reconnect us with God and with one another. But today, in a sense, I feel that it's actually time for us to begin to move forward as a community of faith on mission around Jesus. So I'm going to pray that God will actually speak to your heart and we will speak to my heart, and that we'll leave this place today encouraged, challenged, but inspired to actually step out of our boat and take those steps of faith towards Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this community of faith, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for the family that we are. I thank you for your goodness and your grace and your kindness towards us. And I thank you for the way that you've been speaking to us, encouraging us, challenging us, rebuking us and growing us through this season. And God, I pray that this morning that this story that is very familiar to us actually might come alive, and we actually might understand the challenge of what it means when Jesus was out on the water and he utters those words over Peter's life. He says, "Come. Come to me." I pray that we will actually be people of faith who respond to that call today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've read your Bible, you'll probably notice that there are a number of walks in the Bible. So the Bible actually starts in Genesis with Adam and Eve walking with God in the cool of the day. I think that's one of my most favourite verses because it actually speaks about what our heart desires. It speaks about shalom and oneness. Oneness with God and oneness with one another. Oneness with creation. Walking with God in the cool of the day. Abraham was called to actually leave his home. And Abraham asked God, "Where should I go?" And God says, "I'll tell you later, but just get going. Start walking." Moses is called to take the people out of slavery from Egypt to the promised land. And then they go on this 40-year park run around and around the desert. They just go on this long walk. The risen Jesus actually appears to Saul, Paul, on the road to Damascus and breaks into his life, and Paul's life will never be the same again. In Luke's gospel, Luke places Jesus on a journey. He is always referring that Jesus is on his way to, or he's heading to. So Jesus is always walking. And today we actually come to another walk. This famous walk where Peter actually gets out of the boat and walks towards Jesus. And it's a fascinating walk, because I think it actually teaches us pretty much everything that discipleship is about. The wisdom of actually recognizing who Jesus is. Is he a ghost, or is he the Son of God? Faith and courage to get out of your boat. The exhilaration of walking on water and doing that which is only possible with God. The fear and panic of falling and sinking. The comfort of being rescued by Jesus. Wonder, worship, and adoration when the disciples declare that Jesus is the Son of God. And you will notice that this story actually finishes with mission. It finishes with them getting to the other side of the lake, and many people actually came to Jesus and they were healed. And I think this story is especially relevant to us today because Jesus is still looking for people who will get out of their boat and walk towards him in faith. Tim, can I have my PowerPoint slide up? Yeah, that's the one. So one of the reasons we don't walk in faith, I think, one of the reasons actually we don't step out of our boat is because we're actually fearful. Now, this is a picture of me. You probably can't see it, but see the guy stepping out on the bungee bridge? This was me 27 years ago with hair. And pink tank tops were actually in at the time, so I was kind of hip, cool, and trendy. Not really. Anyway, so I was on doing this bungee jump, and at the time, this bungee jump was the tallest, highest bungee jump in the Southern Hemisphere. And so I stood out on this little ledge, and they put this bungee jump around my legs, and they count down from 10 to 0, and on 0, you've got to jump. And so they're counting down, 10, 9, 8, 7, and then at 3, I was getting ready to jump, and at 3, they say, "Stop, stop, stop, stop." And a jet boat actually came underneath. And so we had to actually wait for the jet boat to actually go up the river and down the river before I could jump. And so while I was out on this little ledge, the guys, the instructors, started telling me all these stories. So they told me a story of this girl who piked at the last moment. So she jumped, but then went around and actually grabbed the platform. But they said it was too risky to actually pull her back up, so they just kind of had to kick her off, and away she went. There was another guy who actually didn't understand the instructions. I don't think he understood English, and he actually jumped first and went feet down and actually got whiplash, and they said he was just taken off into a hospital. Then they actually got a knife and pretended to cut my bungee and showed me this end of this bungee. They were just sort of, and then the whole thing happened again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. 4, 3, 2, 1, jump. And then as soon as I jumped, they said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 wait, wait." And by the time that happened, I was in midair in full panic. You know, every year on the face of this planet, every year there's 7.6 billion people who wake up on this planet that's spinning around the sun. And we think to ourselves, who can I trust? Who is wise enough? Who is strong enough? Who is loving enough that I can actually trust them with my life? Here in this story, Jesus comes to the disciples. He just fed the 5,000. He dismisses the crowd and he puts the disciples in the boat and he tells them to sail to the other side of the lake. He himself went on up to the mountain to pray. In verse 23, later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So the picture is that Jesus is up on this hillside, he's praying, but presumably I think that he can actually still see the disciples. They're in another storm, they're buffeted by the wind and the waves, which I think means that they're sailing into a headwind. So they're doing a lot of work, a lot of energy, a lot of pain and a lot of struggle, but they're actually not getting very far. Verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on water. So some translations have in the fourth watch of night, which means that it's around 3 a.m. So do you know what is happening? Jesus is allowing the disciples to be in this storm, to experience cold, wet, and frustration, not getting very far, and he allows them to do that for 6 or 7 or 8 hours. By the time Jesus gets to them, they would have been fatigued and fearful and wet and cold and frustrated and defeated. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And it's in this context where the disciples are fatigued. They're fearful, it's wet, it's cold, they're frustrated, that Jesus calls Peter to step out of the boat and walk on water. Look at verse 28. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," said Jesus. And we know, don't we, that Peter actually does get out of the boat and he does walk on water. As long as his eyes remain focused upon Jesus, he can perform that miracle, but he does what you and I would do in this situation. He has a wobbly moment. The storm is still raging. And so he looks at the wind and he looks at the waves and he begins to sink. And the question I want to ask you this morning, and it's the question, did Peter fail? Was Peter a failure? In a sense, Jesus says he was. He says, "You of little faith." He says, "Why did you doubt?" But again, here's a question for you. Have you ever failed? You know, have you ever failed cooking a lasagna? Have you ever failed at a really important exam? Or failed in a relationship? Or failed at some really important task at work? Have you ever made the wrong decision or regretted something that you have done? Socially, relationally, financially, spiritually, have you ever actually experienced failure in your life? If you have experienced failure, put up your hand. So it's common to all of us, isn't it? It's something that we've all experienced. We're terrified of failure, aren't we? We're paralyzed by failure. And it has an effect upon our life. Now, I want you to look at the person next to you. Just take a good look at that person next to you. Have a look at them. Put up your hand if you think they're a failure. Don't do that. But, you know, here we are. We're in the northern suburbs of Sydney. And I've said this before, but do you know what I think is one of the greatest weaknesses of our church? Is that this church is actually made up of very gifted, talented, intelligent, educated people. But we will actually only do things that we know that we can succeed in. We will actually only do things that we feel confident and capable in. We'll never actually place ourselves in a point where failure is actually possible. Could I ask you a question this morning? When was the last time that you did something in life, that you experienced something in life, and there was this God-shaped gap? Unless God actually came through, you would sink. When was the last time that you were in complete and utter dependence upon God to actually do the miraculous in your life? Most of us actually aren't living that way. because we're so concerned, we're so afraid that we will actually fail. So again, did Peter fail? Was he a failure? Most of you actually know in your faith, in your journey with Jesus, it's been those times when you've stepped out in faith, when you've tried something, when you've done something, when you've jumped in the deep end of the pool and you've experienced God's power and His grace come through. It is in those times that you've actually really grown as a follower of Jesus. Is that not right? Is that not true? Yeah? I can remember when I was first went to Bible college. I went to Bible college in New Zealand. And I think I was 21 years of age, and I think I'd read two books up until that stage. I'd never written an essay. I'd never sat an exam. And so I was on this plane flying to New Zealand, and all of a sudden I thought, what in the world am I doing? This is beyond me. This is impossible. And do you know what I did? I prayed for that plane to crash. I did. Forget the 200 other people who were on that plane. It was actually all about me. But actually going to theological college and trying something that was beyond me, it was one of the most growing, stretching experiences of my faith. It's where my faith grew and came alive. I can remember picking up Liam from the hospital when he was born, Liam and Janelle. I'd only held a baby for about 10 seconds before that, my sister's baby. And I remember this little baby sitting in the back of our car, and I'm thinking, what in the world do you do now? I experienced marriage and family life as a faith-filled adventure. I cannot love my kids in the way God wants me to without His power and without His help. You know, I find pastoring completely beyond my capacity and my abilities. What we're seeking to do in this church, I don't have the skills or the intellect or the gifts to be able to pull that off by myself. And so I'm constantly falling before God and actually asking God for His help. But it's in those places that I grow. But the choice between comfort and faith, when we're faced with that choice, we will pretty much always, always choose comfort, will we not? To illustrate this, I want to invite my good friend Don Holt. You were just about to nod off there, Don. So a big clap to Donnie. Come up on stage here. So can you remember that it was the TV series ages ago? I think it was called The Love Boat, wasn't it? You know, when they went on that cruiser. That's right, isn't it? The Love Boat. Donnie, this is TCBC's Love Boat. So please, Don, come this way. Just good that you came back on this Sunday, brother. So come and take a seat in TCBC Love Boat. There you go, Don. Just make yourself comfortable so we don't get sunburnt. We'll put a hat on you, Donnie. Donnie, so this is all about making you as comfortable as possible. So I've got a few things that will just actually enhance your life. So Donnie, here you've just sold 20 different properties, and here's all the money that you will ever need. So you don't need to worry about money ever again. Don, you never need to get out of that boat because here are Uber Eats. So you can actually just call them up as much food as you want. Donnie, you've got the TV there, and here is a year subscription to Netflix. So does Don actually, to you, look like a picture of comfort, do you reckon? Put up your hands if he does. Thanks for doing this, Don. You get this. But actually, does Don look somebody who's actually living this Spirit-filled, Jesus-focused life of faith focused upon Jesus? Does he look as though he's somebody who's actually going to go through a time of character and spiritual growth? Do you reckon he does? Probably not. You are a Spirit-filled, focused person on Jesus, Don, so thank you for illustrating my point. Big clap to Donnie. So, here you go, brother. Don will wish that he will never actually come back to TCBC again in the rest of his life. Thanks for doing that, Don. But friends, I think, you know, the choice between comfort and growth, the choice between comfort and risk, the choice between comfort and faith, I don't know about you, but I will always choose comfort. I don't know what it means. I don't know actually what it means, what God is actually saying to you. I don't actually know what it means for you to actually step out of your place of comfort and experience Jesus out upon the water. But look at the disciples. Only one of them got out of the boat. The other 11 chose comfort and security, but think about the boat. In some ways, it symbolizes security and comfort, but they're battling all night. They're not getting very far. It's cold and it's wet and it's miserable. They're safe-ish, but they never get to experience the idea that they can actually walk on water. Friends, there are great reasons for you and I to get out of our boat and walk towards Jesus in faith, because one, it's the only place that we will grow. It's the only place that actually our faith will not remain stagnant. But do you know what the main reason for getting out of your boat is? Where is Jesus? He's out on the water. And he's still calling his disciples to come and meet him there in that place. Did Peter fail? Was he a failure? Yeah, he failed. He sunk, but he also walked on water, and he also knew what it was like to have Jesus grab him by the arm and pull him back up to safety. And friends, are you experiencing Jesus that way in your life today? You know, again, we've got this question, did Peter fail? If you think about Peter, in Luke chapter 9, he's the first one to identify Jesus as being the Christ, but he doesn't accept what kind of Christ Jesus is. And Jesus rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." At the night that Jesus was betrayed in the upper room, Peter says, "I'll never abandon you, I'll never deny you." But before dawn, Peter denies Jesus three times, and here he gets out on water, but he doesn't have the faith and he actually begins to sink. Was he a failure? He failed, but he was not a failure. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, he looks at Peter and he says, "I tell you, Peter, on this rock, on you, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." You know what Jesus is actually saying to Peter? He's not looking for somebody who's perfect. He's not looking for somebody who doesn't make mistakes. He's not looking for somebody who doesn't fail. He's looking for someone who has enough faith to get out of their boat and take a risk for Jesus. Out of the 12, only Peter knew the exhilaration of what it actually meant to walk on water. Nobody focuses on the 11, do they? But they're actually the failures. They're the ones who actually just stood and they were stagnant. They were the ones who were actually watching on while this miracle was happening. The same opportunity was before them, but they actually remained in the boat. And friends, I think that's actually a challenge for you, and that's a challenge for me, and that's a challenge for us as a church. The disciples were followers of Jesus, but 11 remained in the boat. What about you? Do you know when we step out of our boat, when we walk towards Jesus, do you know actually what happens? Our understanding and our worship of him is actually increased. Do you notice after this miracle, Jesus gets into the boat and the winds and the waves, they die down, and all of the disciples begin to worship Jesus and they say, "Surely, surely this is the Son of God." Do you know when you step out on the water and follow Jesus, your understanding of God and who he is, it increases. God actually becomes bigger. He becomes more real to you, and he actually affects your worship. He affects your prayer life. Do you find something within you that it just actually aches, just actually has to worship, something in you that just has to pray? Because that's what happens when you actually walk on water. And do you notice what actually happens in this story when they cross to the other side of the lake? In verse 34, it said, when they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. This is the place where Jesus had previously driven out that man who was demon-possessed. So this is a dark place. This is a godless place. But in verse 35, it says, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought their sick to him. They begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of the cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Friends, again, this was a dark place where mission was impossible. In a sense, we live in this secular society called Australia, where we think people really aren't all that interested in Jesus. But they are. He's good news to you, and he's good news to everyone. And the message of this story is actually, Jesus is actually calling us to move again, to get out of our boat, to not be stagnant, but to be a people who will worship, pray, and be in mission around Jesus. I don't know about you, but I find something bad actually happening to me. You know, the older you get, the more storms you've been through. That's true, isn't it? You've just experienced more storms. And you get beaten and battered by these storms. You actually get tired and fatigued by these storms. And there's a sense in me in which I'll just actually seem to actually just close down and close in and pursue a kind of a safe and secure life. I can remember when I was younger, I'd put up my hand for anything. I'd try anything in the name of Jesus. But I see something happening within me that I'm actually becoming smaller and not bigger. And I'm wondering whether that's true of you as well too. And I'm wondering whether that's true of us as a church. Friends, we've been through this collective storm of COVID. And the wind still is actually still blowing and the waves still exist. You know, if I was Jesus and if I was teaching somebody to walk on water, I'd wait for a really sunny day with no wind. I'd do it in the shallows. I'd make a risk assessment. I'd make sure that first aid was still there. I'd put floaties on that person. But you know what Jesus does for Peter? While the storm is still raging, while the wind is still blowing, while the waves are still going crazy, he is saying, will you get out of your boat and walk towards me in faith? Friends, I don't know what that means for you, but it's got to mean something, doesn't it? It's got to mean a different life, a different living, a new challenge, and a new way of being. So I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to have a time of worship, and at the end of that time of worship, there's actually going to be a response time. I'm going to actually call you to respond to this call upon your life to come and meet Jesus out upon the waters. Allow me to pray. Dear God, I pray that God, I just pray that in a sense we might actually be just authentic and real before you today. That we might actually sense your spirit actually doing something significant in our lives as we think about this call to come. God, that place of safety and comfort is just so tempting. But it leads to a very dreary and stagnant faith and stagnant life. So God, I pray that you'll give us courage and strength and faith and wisdom to actually see who Jesus is and step out on him in faith, knowing that we will fail, but that he's also there to catch us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.